everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Oi with a Tarot Already. I'm one of your hosts, Danielle.
And I'm your other host, Sandra.
So we're recording this after the last one, which was yesterday.
Woo-hoo.
So it's like a back-to-back episode.
So. For us. Not for you guys, for us.
But some of you will have to be because my topic is part two.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I get you.
Yeah, I'm curious to see like how your part's gonna end because you left it off at like a very interesting point. And I still have like so many questions.
Well, we can get into that later. And I did that intentionally. It was a cliffhanger.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
It's a good one. Not gonna lie, it was a good one.
I know. I'm like so happy. I was just like found. I kind of forgot. I've definitely heard about her before, Griselda Blanco.
Mm-hmm.
But like, she's one of those people that you definitely don't hear as much as like Pablo Escobar.
Yeah.
But yeah, but she's a very interesting character. And yeah.
Yeah.
Dave is giggling at us.
Poor Dave, he only hears, like, one side of this whole conversation.
And it's mine. Yeah, Dave, you're hearing a very one-sided conversation.
I thought you were just talking to yourself all these times.
Hashtag Dave the intern.
I feel like it should be, like, hashtag Dave, like, the saint or something for the fact that he listens to this. Saint Dave or whatever.
So is Dave, this can be one of our segments, one of our coroners. I'm introducing it now. Does this make Dave a serial killer? And I will ask random questions and get your response. Dave does not change out of his work clothes when he gets home. Does this make Dave a serial killer?
Maybe not on purpose.
I think it might. She said that it depends.
Like,
where it depends.
I mean, like, sometimes I don't either. Like, sometimes I stay in my work clothes, but my work clothes are also, like, jeans and a nice shirt. So they're still, like, kind of comfy. But if he's...
Dave wears a lot of khakis.
Well, khakis can be comfy, so...
Maybe. I just feel like I need to immediately get into, like, some kind of, like, sweat loungewear after work or something.
I mean, there have been times where I think you've still worn, like, your work shirt and stuff. Yeah. If you're working from home.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't know. I don't see... That's a tough one. Because I feel like Dave could be, because he's so, like, innocent, but, like, knowledgeable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like he, out of the three of us, would be the one to get away with it.
He's, like, the least, like, suspecting one.
Yeah.
Out of all three of us, so mild-mannered.
Like, I think I'm the most suspecting. You're, like, in the middle, and then Dave is, like, the least suspecting.
Because of the khakis.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's the question for this week. Is Dave a serial killer corner? Tune in next week
for another question. Poor Dave.
So, in a Dave-related note, my ooh of the week will be that it was just our two-year anniversary.
Yay!
We went to New Hampshire and celebrated, and it was fun, and the weather was good, and I got to float. But then we saw a snake, and it was scary. But then we had champagne, and it was good again.
Like, in the water or, like, on land?
Yeah, there was a snake swimming in the water, and I did not know that snakes did that, and then I died.
Yeah.
It was 2 feet long. Yep, we had just come back from kayaking, and I was, like, standing in the water, like, bringing the kayak into the dock, and Dave was like, I think you're still sitting in your kayak, and Dave's like, oh, there's a snake over there. And I'm like, what? And I look over to the left, and it's, like, literally swimming, like, I don't know, 3 feet away from me? Something like that? Like, to the left of me, like, near the rocks? And I was like, what the hell? And then I kind of, like, scrambled up on the dock and was like, oh my god. So, yep. And yeah. I guess there are snakes there.
Yeah, I mean, I knew that. Like, they swim in like the lakes and they swim in like the oceans too, which is terrifying. Because it's like you think you're like, oh, they're not here, but they are. Yeah. I hate snakes. They're like, ugh, I hate them. I know that they're like fine. But yeah, because living in Florida, you see them all the time.
So these ones aren't poisonous. My main thing with snakes is like you don't know which ones will kill you and which ones are fine. Because we had one in our garden like a year ago, 2 years ago. Like I think it's called like a garter snake or something. It's probably like I
Yeah,
don't
those are
know,
fine.
less than a foot. Like not that big. Like 6 inches maybe. I don't know. But yeah, that one was kind of cute. And this one was a lot bigger and is able to swim, so I don't like that. But then you don't know like if they're poisonous or venomous. And I tried finding like the type of snake this was. I think it's literally from what I found just called like a northern snake. And apparently they really like the water and they're not venomous. So I was like, okay, cool, that's good.
Yep. Really, they're more afraid of you than you are of them because they don't know what you are and they don't know if you're going to kill them either. So it's like a.
Yeah, that's what it basically said. Like this type of snake, they just like hang out on the rocks and like branches near the water.
Like for me, when it comes to lakes, like I always go to leeches. For some reason, that's where my brain always goes to. I don't even think
Oh
about
yeah.
snakes. I think about like leeches and eels. And I'm like, no. No. I'm not doing it.
I feel like it's not fair that there are leeches and eel or eels and snakes. Because I feel like they're like the same and both shouldn't be allowed.
I think, oh God, when I was in Maine like 10 years ago. So my mom grew up in Maine and she grew up going to the lake like when she was a kid. And they used to always try to feed it was either eels or fish, like hot dogs. Like they would cut up hot dogs and use it as bait to like
Oh,
feed
God.
them. And then they would go like eel fishing, which is like they would just jump in the water and like try to grab eels to see how many they could catch. Like my mom lived a very adventurous life where I was like, we did not do that growing up.
Nope.
I was the one that was like, I'm not going in the lake because there are eels.
Yeah, very wildernessy.
Well, Maine, she didn't really have a choice. So, but yeah. Well, I'm glad you survived your snake encounter
Yes.
and that you guys went kayaking and had fun for your anniversary and had champagne. So,
It was good overall.
yeah.
But now you can do your oi.
Oh, God. So, this happened last night after you and I were done recording. I have neighbors above me. I don't know if they're moving, which if they are, they have to be out by noon tomorrow because that's like Boston law when it comes to moving. For those people that don't know, if you live in Boston and Massachusetts and you're moving, you have to be out of your current apartment by noon the last day of August, so August 31st, and you can't get into your new apartment until noon on September 1st. So you're homeless for a night, basically, or a squatter.
Interesting.
Whatever you want to call it, you have to like go to a hotel, go to a friend's place, find somewhere to sleep.
Wow.
So I think they're moving because I can hear them now. I don't if you can, I'm sorry. Like they can't help it right now. And they started blasting music after you and I were done last night, which is fine. I'm like, it's still.
Oh, that's so polite of them. They waited.
It's like it's fine. They've been doing this like on and off all weekend, and I keep hearing them like I don't know if they're moving in or moving out, but they're doing something. And I was like, that's fine. And it was fine until 10 o'clock at night when they're blasting it to the point where my couch is vibrating because the bass is so loud. And I was like looking at my lease because every lease in Boston has like quiet hours and they differentiate depending on the management company. So my old one, for example, was like 7 at night to like 7 in the morning, which is ridiculous. Like that's a little crazy. But this one where I am now is like 11 o'clock at night to like 7 in the morning. And it's 11 o'clock. And I'm like, okay, technically they're violating like our lease agreement if they have the similar lease. So I reported them to my management company. I went upstairs 2 or 3 times and knocked on their door to tell them to like knock it off. Cause at this point it was 11:30 closer to midnight. And I was like, okay, now this is getting ridiculous. Like I'm trying to sleep. Knock on the door. They ignore me. Then I wait 20 minutes and I go back up and I knock on the door again. They ignore me. And this time I have a note and it says like, hello, can you please turn down the music? Like thank you, apartment number, whatever my apartment number is. So they didn't open it again. So I ended up sliding the note under their door.
Mm-hmm.
Still nothing. So finally, 1 a.m., because I'm like, I will give them till 1 a.m., and then I'm calling the cops because I'm pissed off right now. 1 a.m. rolls around. They finally turn the music down, and they're getting, I can tell that they're, like, getting ready for bed. So I finally fall asleep around, like, 1:30, closer to 2. Mm-hmm. And then I sleep through my alarm because tired.
Mm-hmm.
And end up being almost late for work.
Mm-hmm.
So my oi is that.
Yeah.
If you're in an apartment, blast your music. I don't care. Just remember there are people around you that have different mm-hmm. schedules than you do. And some of us have to get up early. So PSA for the week, because I was so close to just calling the cops on them and just being like noise violation.
And like, if you like were like complaining, think of how many other people were also probably trying to do something too.
Well, that's the thing too. And that's what's weird about the floor above me is I go upstairs and they're blasting music and I can hear it from like the hallway. Like I can hear it. But then this other guy down their hall is playing guitar. And I was like, what the hell is happening up here? It's midnight. Like, am I like that old person now? That's like, oh,
and
like,
it's Monday.
And it's a Monday. That's
that's weird.
I was like, it's They're a Monday.
Not like college kids, right?
No, like, they don't allow college kids in my building. It's all young professionals or grad students. So I'm like, maybe they're grad students. But also what kills me is in my door, I don't have a keyhole. Like, I don't have a peephole where I can see who's on the other side. My neighbors upstairs do. So if they looked out their keyhole, they could see that I'm literally in my pajamas.
Whoa.
I have a sweatshirt over me because I'm not wearing a bra because it's midnight. And I'm just like, can you just open the door so I can tell you to turn down your music? Like, that's all I'm asking. Just turn it down just a little bit so my couch isn't vibrating and I can't hear myself, like, think.
It's good that you have a way to report that.
Yeah, I emailed my I haven't heard anything, which makes me wonder if they're moving out tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Because I might follow up with my company tomorrow and just say, like, hi. Like, I just want to follow up with this report that I did. And then I can also let them know if I once again heard it tonight, where mm-hmm. it's the same pattern. Hopefully it's not. I'm praying that it's not, because that was ridiculous. But I also get it if, again, like, I'm trying to be nice, because I'm like, I get it if they're moving. Like, they're trying to, they're working. You know, it's hard to move when you're working. It's hard to, like, get everything together and, you know, disassemble everything. But at the same time, I'm just like, can't you, like, just do it without blasting the music?
Maybe they had, like, a party or something like that. Like, we're moving out. We're going to celebrate.
It would not surprise me. And again, like, I can't say anything because I've had parties at my apartment. But, like, I make sure to turn it down by, like, 10 o'clock, 11. And it's also not on a Monday.
Right, because that kind of makes sense. Like, I feel like a couple wouldn't just, like, sit in their apartment and blast music for, like, 5 hours or whatever. So I feel like that must have been a party.
Yeah, and the fact that I'm, like, I was banging so loud on the door because the music was loud and I was trying to get their attention.
Did you hear people?
Yeah, I heard people because I can also hear them. Yeah, I heard like, it's maybe 2 to 4 people.
Oh, okay.
But you would think that, like, they would open the door and be like, oh, maybe it's one of my friends that needs to come in or something else. No. No. And these neighbors have been great so far. Like, they've been, you know, very quiet, very respectable. I hear them, and I actually like hearing them, because the weird thing about an apartment is, like, when you hear people, you're like, okay, they're alive. Like, my neighbors should be alive because I hear people moving upstairs. That's good. That means I'm not going to have a murders in the building situation. Like, I'm fine with that. So I was just really pissed off and tired and cranky today because I had to deal with very little sleep last night. Mm-hmm. And I've got a crazy week coming up with everything. And it's just like, it's one thing where I was like, I didn't really need that, so to speak. So I'll be interesting to hear if they are loud tonight.
Yeah, I was curious when you said you already had an oi after we had just spoken yesterday, and I was like, what could have happened?
Well, it's funny, because my original oi, because apparently when you turn 30, your body starts to die. Sunday.
Oh my god.
So my original oi on Sunday was I went to do my laundry, and there was no issues with the actual laundry. The machines were fine. Everything was fine. It was good. And I go and I take my clothes out of the dryer and I twisted weird. So I think I pulled a muscle on my left side and it still hurts. And I'm like, what the fuck did you do? So apparently when you turn 30 and you try to do your laundry, mm-hmm. you pull muscles easily and they hurt for a few days.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that happened to Dave recently, too. Remember the whole ER story?
Yeah, but I feel like that was more of like a gas situation than a pulled muscle situation.
Was it a gas or a pulled muscle situation, Dave?
So, we have three levels.
Dave, you're talking so much in this episode.
I know. My voice must be heard. We have three levels of constipation tea at the house. And the strongest one is called Smooth Move. I had that. I felt great after.
Okay.
Well, that's all Dave can say for five more episodes.
Yep.
Or else we have to say you legally.
Yeah. But I mean, like, with that whole thing with Dave, like, I've been there. I haven't gone to the hospital, but, like, I've definitely been in that much pain where I'm like, I should probably go to the hospital.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've never been to that level before. Like, I'm always, my thought is with the ER especially is, like, it has to be excruciating pain or something like that. Like, or some kind of accident or, yeah.
Yeah.
It was, like, worst case scenario.
Yeah. Well, I mean, at least for you guys, you got a partner that can, like, help you and drive you.
Hmm. And it's an easy drive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's good. That's always, like, a plus when you're like, I am at least close enough to the hospital right. where if I have to drive myself, yeah. I can do it.
Right.
Yeah, same. I'm close to, it's Boston. I'm close to
a lot.
Quite a few.
Mm-hmm.
Quite a few, depending on what I need. So, yay for Boston.
And now, also, yay Boston. Dunkin' started serving pumpkin coffee a week ago, I've heard.
So, Starbucks started today, because I went in.
Hmm?
Today was the first day.
Oh, I thought someone on the radio said a week ago at Dunkin'.
Oh, Starbucks has started today.
Yeah, Starbucks.
That's right. How could I confuse them? This is Boston.
Yeah.
No.
Because I went into Starbucks this morning to get a drink because I was, like, already having a shit day. I looked at their menu, and yesterday their menu was all, like, their summer stuff, and today it was all fall, and I was like,
oh, wow.
Oh, shit, their pumpkin stuff is out now.
It's still August.
Like,
one more day.
It just gets earlier and earlier every time.
Yeah.
Every year. I'm like, it's going to be, next year it's going to be July, and they're going to be like, pumpkin spice latte. Or whatever.
No, no.
Not ready for that.
Yeah, that sounds like a weird, like, horror movie about fall. Just, like, spice lattes that are in the summer.
That would be a horror movie. Like, as if you lived in, a town where they only serve pumpkin spice lattes all year round and nothing else.
So I was just saying to Dave the other day, like, can you imagine living in a, sorry to people who don't live like New England or who live on the West Coast or whatever, like, how can you have, like, winter holidays without the winter weather? Like, I don't understand that.
I don't know. It's like the people in Australia, their summer is like December. It's their summer vacation. It's crazy to, like, think about. So
we have all the seasons.
We do. It's one of the nice things about being in the Northeast, at least.
Mm-hmm.
As much as we complain, we do enjoy the fact that we have four seasons to complain in.
Yeah. Our summer was hot.
Hot and dry.
Maybe the winter will be cold.
But not too cold. Not too cold. I'm not looking for, like, north of the wall cold. I'm just looking for, like, regular, normal cold.
Oh, do you want to do a review on that Mother Dragon show? Or is it, it's not that kind of a show?
I mean, it can be. I don't know how many people that listen to us that have watched it, but I enjoyed it. I mean, every week I kind of go in with, like, a just enjoy it. Just don't think about the Game of Thrones. Like, just take it for what it is. Which I have kind of been rewatching a little bit just for, like, fun. Like, I have, like, my favorite episodes from the seasons that I go back and I occasionally rewatch if I'm in the mood. So,
well, A question I had, I like kind of like it so far, but you also can't judge a show from two episodes.
Exactly.
So, but a question I had was like, did they talk a lot about this time period in Game of Thrones? Like, were there a lot of major things that happened that we're supposed to know already?
So, I didn't read the books, but I understand that this part is talked a lot about in the books. I don't remember which book. Also, if I'm remembering correctly from a clip that we see for next week, Rhaenyra's little brother is named Aegon, I think. And he is mentioned at least in one in the episode that I just rewatched, which is the one where Jon Snow and Daenerys Targaryen like meet each other in Dragonstone. Mm-hmm. I think he is mentioned. I think it's that specific ancestor of hers that's mentioned.
Okay.
So I feel like there's going to be little Easter eggs for people that know the books more so than for us that are just like watching the show.
Okay.
Because I know, like, for the first episode, it ended with him, with the king, talking about, like, the Song of Ice and Fire or whatever, which is, like, mm-hmm. the White Walkers. Mm-hmm. So, obviously, that happened in Game of Thrones. So, I think, like, stuff like that will keep happening. But I think a lot of stuff, like, we'll be learning as the show goes on. But I could be wrong.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of have a sense of the direction it's going in so far, basically determining or trying to get a male heir. Seems like is the goal right now.
So my question, and I don't know if I don't remember if it got answered or not, but I remember something about like how maybe it was because there was a theory going around when like Game of Thrones was on, I think back in series like 6 or 7, where people thought that like she was gonna get pregnant from like Jon Snow because like Targaryens obviously are very interbred.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they do better when they have babies with like each other. Mm-hmm. So like with that, I'm kind of wondering if there's something going on between Rhaenyra's and her uncle.
Yeah, they hinted at it, I felt like.
I got vibes in episode one where I was like, mm-hmm. wait a minute. And then in episode 2, I'm still like, is there? Yep. But I also got vibes between her and her friend Alicent.
I know, I got that too.
Where I was like, are they going that way? Like,
they can do anything.
So I was just like, which way are we going?
Yep. Maybe both.
Because it's not out of the realm for the Targaryen family to marry mm-hmm. each other, which is mm-hmm. why I was like, well, wouldn't it just be easier if, like, as weird as it sounds, if for, like, Rhaenyra's to marry her uncle and then they have, like, the next heir or whatever.
Like, the uncle has, like, the concubine person, whatever she is.
Well, he's also married to somebody else.
Oh, yeah.
He's got a wife. So it's,
they
like...
They didn't show her, did they?
I don't think they showed her yet, no.
Yeah.
So I just am, like, curious to see how all of this is gonna go, but I'm really curious to see how that particular like between her and her uncle goes, because mm-hmm. it could go either way. It could just be like a normal like we care for each other uncle niece relationship, or it's like, oh mm-hmm. okay, we're doing the Targaryen, you
maybe
know.
He can't have children,
maybe.
That's my theory.
Maybe he can't have children with his wife because they're not related.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's my theory, is like, I don't know. Again, do not quote me on any of this. I could be wrong. They're just theories. We're only 2 episodes in, but I'm curious to see where it's going to go.
Okay, should I get started? Or I guess I'll continue mine. Oh, so that actually worked out well that I'm going first this episode mm-hmm. for the part 2 part. So I ended before saying that Florida became a war zone with the cocaine drug lords. So this happened from 1979 to 1984. Oh yeah, and I should probably say again that this is part 2 of the Griselda Blanco, the godmother, and what's her other title? The cocaine something. Cocaine godmother? Maybe? She had all these different titles. So her hitmen fired apparently the first shots of this war on July 11th, 1979 at the Crown Liquor Store and the Dade Lynn Shopping Mall. The hitmen actually chased employees out of the liquor store through the mall with their guns blazing. In the end, they managed to only wound the workers. but massive damage had been done. Like something from the Joker's playbook, the assassins had arrived in an armored delivery van with the words, "Happy time, complete party supply." And I guess this became known as a war wagon because the sides were covered in quarter-inch steel with gun ports cut into them emblazoned on the side. And that was according to Raul Diaz, a former Dade County homicide detective. When the war wagon ended up in the hands of the police, Griselda had to think of another vehicle option for her hitmen, and she decided to use motorbikes. She is credited with using this, like, shoot-by method while riding motorbikes. Apparently she started that. So cocaine became such a large industry in Miami that by the 1980s, the city made up 70% of America's cocaine and marijuana drug trade. It was normal to see piles of bodies littering the streets of Miami. Most, if not all, of the deaths were caused by the Queen of Cocaine. By 1981, that was other title, Queen of Cocaine. By 1981, Miami became the murder capital of the whole world in a time where it was normal for Colombian and Cuban dealers to shoot each other with submachine guns. Most of the deaths were the result of the cocaine cowboy drug wars. Griselda was attributed with causing most of this brutality. She struck fear in everyone who knew her. She had built a reputation for being more violent than her fellow drug lords. Another criminal would choose to kill someone for strategy or tact, but Griselda would basically kill anyone who wronged her and would find out later if the person was actually guilty or not. She didn't kill all of these people herself and employed various hitmen. Her most trusted hitman was Jorge Rivi Ayala. He divulged that when Griselda ordered a hit and she also wanted any bystanders in the area to get killed as well, which apparently not all people specified that, and the bystanders could include men, women, and children, she didn't care. One of the reasons La Madrina, she was also known, would order a hit was if you were late in payments. This would put you and your family in the line of fire. Another reason was if she owed someone else money but did not feel like paying, she would order a hit on them, or if she thought someone had slighted her. Jorge was a willing hitman for Griselda, but he did not want to kill any children. There was one situation he found himself in where he actively prevented his team members from murdering the young children of two drug dealers they killed. But one day, he accidentally killed a 2-year-old Johnny who was in the car with his father, the intended victim, and other hitman Jesus Castro. In the late 1983, Griselda chose her third husband as her next victim. He kidnapped their son, Michael Corleone, and took him to Colombia. Griselda responded by sending hitmen dressed as police to gun him down as his son watched in horror. Her son was brought back, but this move initiated a war between Griselda and her husband's brother, Paco. This caused a rift amongst the other drug kingpins, some of them turned against Griselda, including one important supplier to her business. At this point in the 80s, her organization was worth billions of dollars. She transported 3,400 pounds of cocaine into the U.S. every month. In 1984, Jamie, the nephew of her second husband, Alberto Bravo, started plotting to kill Griselda and would frequent the shopping malls that she would spend most of her time. But she, like, already had a list of enemies, so this wasn't really a new thing that, like, someone wanted to try to kill her. Griselda continued her business as usual and had fellow drug supplier Marta Selderidge Ochoa killed. So she continued to collect more enemies and also got the attention of the DEA. In 1984, she moved to California in hopes of lying low for a bit to avoid both Alberto's nephew and the DEA. But the DEA actually arrested the nephew in November because they saw him as getting in the way of their arrest. They wanted to arrest Griselda. So after they arrested the nephew, for some reason, they were finally able to get to Griselda in 1985 when she was 42 years old. She was sentenced to nearly 20 years in jail for narcotics trafficking. Despite this, her cocaine business continued, and the district attorney of Miami wanted her convicted for murder. While behind bars, Griselda started a relationship with Charles Cosby, an Oakland crack dealer. He became enamored by her when he saw her broadcast on the news. They met at the FCI Dublin Federal Women's Prison. It is thought that Griselda entrusted most of her drug empire to him. While in prison, her enemies got busy, and Pablo Escobar sent his men to kill Griselda's son, Osvaldo, in 1992. They shot him in the leg and shoulder, and he later bled to death in the hospital. In 1994, her entrusted hitman, Ayala, was the star witness in a murder prosecution against her. This broke the godmother, who suffered a nervous breakdown because she realized the amount that he knew and thought that this could, like, ruin her. But Griselda actually decided to move forward and make a plan. She slipped Cosby a note that read, JFK5MNY. Apparently, Griselda had written this code, and it was for her plan to organize the kidnapping of JFK Jr. She wanted to hold him in exchange for her freedom. The kidnappers, who she paid $5 million, actually almost pulled this off. They got near Kennedy while he was outside walking his dog, but an NYPD squad car passed by, and the kidnappers got scared and took off, apparently. So the plan ended up failing, and this was not a good look for Griselda. But it was actually a phone sex scandal between hitman Ayala and secretaries from the Miami-Dade District Attorney's Office that threw a major wrench into the case, and he was soon discredited as the star witness. So this helped in Griselda avoiding the death penalty. She later accepted a plea bargain, and in 2004, La Madrina was released and sent back to Colombia. But it was not to be a happy ending for her, because at the age of 69, in 2012, she met her own violent end. She was shot twice in the head outside of a butcher shop in Medellin. She was assassinated in a motorcycle drive-by shooting, the same method she had created when she first started. She had made so many enemies by this point, it was basically impossible to, like, know who would have plotted the shooting. Quote, it's the same kind of poetic justice that she met, an end that she delivered to so many others, said Bruce Bagley, author of the book Drug Trafficking in the Americas. She might have retired to Colombia and wasn't anything like the kind of player she was in her early days, but she had lingering enemies almost everywhere you look. What goes around comes around, end quote. So an autopsy was conducted on Griselda Blanco, and it was discovered that she had a bullet scar on her torso, which, like, proved that the legend was true. They weren't sure about if her second husband had pulled a Uzi gun on her, and she shot him and he shot her in the stomach, and apparently that scar proved that it seems like that, unless it happened from something else, that may have been why. So there actually were several films about Griselda. Cocaine Cowboys from 2006, and then Cocaine Cowboys 2. There was a Lifetime movie called Cocaine Godmother from 2018. And Griselda was portrayed by Catherine Zeta-Jones, so that's kind of interesting. In 2020, there are plans were announced to make a movie called The Godmother, starring Jennifer Lopez. And then Sofia Vergara is going to portray her in a Netflix limited series called Griselda. So I would watch that. That's the story of Griselda Blanco.
Holy shit. That's insane.
Mm-hmm.
Like, now I get why you had to put it, like, split it into two parts. Yeah. Because that is a lot for, like, one episode. But, and she only died in 2012? Like, 10 years ago? Was it 2012?
Yeah,
or was
it 2012.
Wow.
Yeah, that's pretty recent.
Yeah, because I keep thinking this was, like, way back.
Nope.
But then you kept, like, saying, like, the 80s, and then, like, the 90s, and then 2000. It's like, oh, yeah, it's not that far. But that's in that whole, like, I honestly, like, just don't have any words.
I'm glad I did this story.
Yeah, it's really good, and it's really interesting. And the life that woman lived, holy crap.
There definitely should be a movie made, because I feel like when you think of this type of category, it's like Scarface,
mm-hmm.
which is a guy, like, I guess The Godfather, they kept mentioning that, like, she was called The Godmother, like, I definitely feel like they need to make these movies and shows.
Also, when you mentioned, like, the JFK part, mm-hmm. for some reason my mind went to, like, is she talking about, like, a flight? Because it's, like, JFK, like,
I know, I thought that too, like, she was gonna do something to a plane or something like that, but no.
And then you mentioned, like, actually, like, JFK, yeah. like, John F. Kennedy Jr., and I was like, Jesus Christ, like, that's insane, and the fact that they almost did it.
And then it also makes me wonder if, like, that was how she, like, wrote down hits she wanted, mm-hmm. if she would do it in this coded language,
yeah.
like, how would she just come up with that?
Yeah. She, for as evil as she was, she's very, very smart.
Yeah, she's basically a businesswoman,
mm-hmm.
but evil.
Evil. Very evil, but very smart, and clearly, like, it's so weird that a lot of people have, like, a niche. Like, if you look at, like, serial killers, or if you just look at, like, people mm-hmm. like her, like, they definitely have, like, a type and a niche, and that's what they
do. Oh, and she hung out at malls a lot. I feel like she did her business at malls, I'm guessing.
No wonder our parents were, like, nervous about going to the mall when we were kids.
That's all because of her.
Sure, she didn't help.
Yeah.
But still. Mm-hmm. I also wonder if she tried to do the JFK thing, like, the kidnapping, to, like, get famous or to, like, be noticed, because they do that a lot, too.
Yeah.
Or they just want to, like, do something big to, like, get on the news and be famous and get noticed.
Well, I guess that was why she thought it would be worth so much money, probably.
$5 million? Just that alone for me is, like, holy crap.
Yep.
That's nuts. But no, definitely good. Good topic.
Thanks. Yours is.
Yeah. So again, my hint in the last episode was that it does have to do with Harry Potter. So, but I haven't done a Harry Potter thing in a while.
I have a guess.
What's your guess?
Patronus.
No. Actually, I just made a connection. So it's funny that you did mention a snake earlier because my topic is the basilisk.
Oh.
Which, I don't know if you remember, is yes. the giant snake that's featured in Harry Potter mm-hmm. and the Chamber of Secrets that Harry ends up killing. And I picked it because I literally just wanted to do, like, a kind of, like, a creature.
Mm-hmm.
And this was just one of the ones that kept coming up, and I thought it was interesting because we were so young when Harry Potter came out, mm-hmm. I didn't realize that it was based on, like, an actual thing. I just thought it was something that maybe J.K. Rowling, like, made up. But she definitely is known for taking things like creatures or legends in real life, obviously, and using them in the books. So essentially the basilisk, if I'm pronouncing it correctly, and I feel like I'm not, it does appear in various forms throughout history. It basically started off as kind of a small crown snake that was able to kill with its lethal poison and evil gaze. The poison was apparently so lethal that it would actually like lead a wide trail of venom in its wake. But although it did have a cruel nature, it also did represent power. For instance, sometimes like that of hell in Christian mythology. So it became the guardian creature and a traditional symbol of the Swiss city Basel. Basel? I think it's Basel. B-A-S-E-L. Some have even speculated that the accounts and descriptions of cobras may have given rise to the legend of the basilisk, because cobras can also maintain an upright posture, and along with many other snakes in overlapping territories are often killed by mongoose. For instance, the king cobra or the hamadryad is like has a crown-like symbol on its head. And there are several species of spitting cobras that can incapacitate from a distance by spitting venom, most often into a prey's eyes, and they may have been confused with the hamadryad by similar appearance. The Egyptian cobra also lives in the desert and was employed as a symbol of royalty. So it does go back to how snakes do symbolize royalty. They symbolize power. They symbolize a lot of that in many different legends. It is also believed that the basilisk is the most poisonous creature that has ever lived, and there are tales where the basilisk was killed by a spear from horseback, but the poison flowed upward and killed both the man and apparently the horse. Its presence is also very tainting, that not only have like herbs died of its terrible breath, but stones shatter as well, and the basilisk's venom is so strong that upon drinking from a well, the water remains polluted for apparently centuries, so bringing death to anyone who drinks from it. It can only be male, and for it must have the most proper receptacle of venom and destructive qualities. It is also said to be so evil that when it cannot petrify animals, it will actually turn to plants, withering them anywhere that it goes. Its appearance has also been essentially described dating back to medieval travelers as a large fire-breathing creature with a terrifying roar. It then also at one point was described as a rooster with a serpent's tail and occasionally having dragon wings. This does show similarities with a cockatrice, but there is one difference, and the basilisk is said to be hatched from the egg of a rooster. And I want to reiterate that yes, it is a rooster, it is not a chicken, because apparently there's a debate on that. And incubated by a toad, while the birthing process of a cockatrice is vice versa, where a toad's egg is hatched by a rooster. Another description of the basilisk is a lizard with a rooster's head and the tail of a serpent and 8 chicken legs. Based on this, many modern depictions of the basilisk basically portrays it as a large 6 or 8-legged lizard armed with a petrifying gaze. Whereas in Harry Potter, if everyone remembers correctly, it's really just like a giant snake with yellow eyes. But it does still have that theme of a petrifying gaze that can, according to that, kill you if you look it in the eye, or at least petrify you if you get it indirectly. There are also tales about the basilisk being petrified by its own appearance in a mirror, but it can also be slayed by other various methods, and it is also vulnerable to a cockcrow or of a rooster. And this belief actually led to the travelers carrying roosters for self-protection, although roosters never actually have had the power to kill the basilisk. It can also be stopped by the odor of a weasel. The villagers would throw it in a pit recognized by the dying vegetation nearby, and like hope to get rid of it by, I guess, throwing a weasel in the pit with it, so to speak. So it has also been in a lot of different types of media. It has been featured as far back as the English revised version of the Bible, in Isaiah to be specific. It's been mentioned in the inscription of the Kosovo marble column, which was written by Stefan Lazarevic. It appears in a work titled On Jews and Their Lies by theologian Martin Luther. It's also been featured in William Shakespeare's Richard III, There are several poets that have included it, from Robert Browning's A Light Woman and Voltaire, entitled An Animal That Will Not Suffer Itself to Be Touched by a Man. And obviously, probably the most well-known is Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets.
I didn't realize it went back that far.
I didn't either. I'm not really surprised that it does, because it is just one of those types of things that, like, you look on it and you're like, holy crap, this goes back way further than I thought. And again, J.K. Rowling's really known for doing that. But I was surprised that it, like, has so many different ways that it could be seen, from, like, having dragon wings to, like, being taken down by, like, a rooster. Like, stuff like that, where I'm like, that's...
Wait, what was the part about the water? You said something about drinking?
Yeah, let me see if I can find that.
So it reminded me of, like, I was going to ask if that's why Harry, when he's trying to, like, what is it? He's trying to, he's with Dumbledore and they're getting the Horcruxes, and then they can't drink water but want water.
Oh, yeah, that's something different, I think. Oh, I think that was just something that, like, Tom or Voldemort.
Maybe she, like, used two different things from the story.
I mean, I wouldn't put it past her. Oh, here it is. The basilisk venom is so strong that upon drinking from a well, the water remains polluted, like, for centuries, bringing death to anyone drinking it. So if it drinks, I guess it's saying it's, like, if it drinks from a well, the water is polluted, and anyone who drinks from that well will die because of venom.
Oh, so I guess that's different. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. If you look up basilisk, it says common basilisk reptile, and then there are pictures of lizards.
Yeah. So that's what I thought it really just was just like a snake. I didn't realize that it came in so many other forms. I also didn't realize that they're only supposed to be male, and the way they are hatched is crazy. Like, it's just very, very strange how they're supposedly hatched. But yeah, so that's my story for the week, is the basilisk.
Good job.
Thank you. It was fun. I got to read a lot of, like, Harry Potter geeky stuff because it's on, like, a Harry Potter Wikipedia. And I also did it while I was supposed to be working, but
you made it sound like you've had a lot of downtime lately, so.
I've had so much downtime. Like, I don't know what else there is to do, because I'm not supposed to. They took me off, like, a big part of my job since I'm done on Friday. So I'm just, like, twiddling my thumbs for 9 hours a day.
That can get boring. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's not even like I have to look for a new job, because I have a new job lined up, so I can't even do that. It's just,
you, like, should, like, write a novella or something.
Well, I thought about that, but then I was like, that's really weird to do while I'm at work. So I spent an hour today on Reddit's Am I the Asshole?
Like, journal. Bring in, like, an arts and crafts thing. I don't know.
Something. Bring in a book. Because, like, and, like, everyone around me, like, knows I'm leaving. So they always just, like, walk by and they're like, they either ignore me or they're like, oh, hey, like, how's it going? But I'm like, I should just bring a book, because, like, I mean, I technically have my own little area because I'm in the front, but, like, if any of them walk by, they see what I'm doing. They can see on my computer, which is, like, it's fine because I'm, like, I'm not doing anything I'm not supposed to do. So it's not like I'm sitting there listening to Spotify on my computer all day. I'm not, because I'm like, nope, that's not, that'll look bad. So, yeah. So I'm just like, what can I do?
Oh, no.
So I've been going on Amazon a lot and ordering things. Like, I ordered earplugs last night at, like, 12:30 because of my neighbors. And I was like, I should get them anyway because, like, I'm going to need them at some point. So.
It's practical.
Yeah, I'm like, I might need them for my trip this week. Like, I don't know. So, yeah, we'll see. But so far, it's like, I'm just, I hate it because I'm just trying to wrap everything up and, like, make sure it's organized, and we'll wrap it up here. All right, everyone. Thanks for joining us for another episode of Oi with the Terror Already. You can find us online on Instagram and Facebook. Our pages are Oi with the Terror Already and Oi with the Terror Already podcast. We drop a new episode every Thursday. You can listen to us on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, anywhere podcasts are available to listen to. And if you have any spooky stories or topics you want us to discuss and research, or if you just want to talk about the new Game of Thrones show, send us an email at oiwiththeterroralready@gmail.com. And we will see you all next week.
Bye.